Thank you, Craig. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, reading through verse 18, the end of that chapter. I hope to surprise you with this passage of Scripture as much as it has surprised me, even in the last couple of days. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul continues to write together with Silas, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." Pray with me. Father, for your word, thank you. Would you use it, Holy Spirit, to rock our world? This is not ordinary literature. This is not some book. This is the revelation of the living God. And we need for you to shatter any myths in our mind. And we need the truth of the word to not only grip our minds, but our lives. And we confess our inability to make that happen. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would transform us from the inside out. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Henry Ford once said that the ability to encourage others is one of life's finest assets. The auto inventor and the manufacturer knew the power of encouragement. He had learned it as a young man. Memorable to him was the time at the beginning of his career when he made a drawing of his newly built engine for Thomas Edison. Young Ford had endured criticism and ridicule. Most mechanical experts of that day were convinced that electric carriages would be the popular passenger cars of the future. But attending a dinner one evening at which Edison was present, Ford began explaining his engine to men nearest him at the table. He noticed that Edison, seated several chairs away, was listening. Finally, the great man moved closer and asked the young inventor to make a drawing. When the crude sketch was complete, Edison studied it intently. And then he suddenly banged his fist on the table. "Young man," he said, "that's the thing. You have it." And Henry Ford never forgot it. He said, "The thump of that fist upon the table was worth worlds to me." He begins or ends or culminates this passage with those words, "Encourage each other with these words." We'll get to that in a moment. Sometimes in preparation for a particular sermon, things happen. And I confess to you that I have not seen opposition to a sermon that's been greater than the opposition to this one. And I tried to understand spiritually, what was that? Why was that? I even attempted this morning when I brought my laptop to my desk and plugged it in to print the sermon. This little thing came up. It wouldn't open first, and then I closed it and tried again. And when it tried to open, a little window popped up, and it said something like, "The last time you tried to open this file, it caused a serious error. Are you sure you want to open this?" And I thought, wow, God, you've got something really serious that you want us to see, but I don't get it. I'm not sure I understand why this text. I mean, I understand the enemy's upset about all of your word, but why? If I were preaching from Ephesians 6 and the spiritual battle, I can understand why he would get restless. If I were preaching on a particularly evangelistic sermon, such as John 3:16, I could understand God. But why is he so upset about this passage? And I'll tell you why, I think, in a minute. But one of the things that might possibly be the case is that one of you doesn't know Jesus, and God is about to meet you face to face. And the enemy knows it, and he doesn't like it. Beyond that, I began to understand a little bit. Some of these thoughts began to gel in my mind. It seems to me that the father of lies, our enemy, loves to live in a state of confusion and wants you to join him there. He wants you to be fuzzy in your thinking, and the ace in the hole for him is this thing called death, because it's out there, it's unknown, it's scary, and it's kind of like that thing that he always dangles in front of you to scare you. And so when God begins to peel back the lies and expose the truth, death suddenly becomes not quite so scary, and he doesn't like that. And beyond that, as I look at this passage, be careful as you look at it with me, because you might find yourself looking forward to the day you meet Jesus face to face. And you might even get a little bit excited about the banquet after the wedding. And the idea of being with Jesus and the idea of being assembled together for all eternity, that might excite you a little bit, you think? And when you, the bride of Christ, begin to look forward to the wedding feast with Jesus, I promise you, our enemy hates that and gets restless. So he says to us in verse 18, encourage each other with these words. What words? I categorize them for my sake and hopefully for yours as well into two categories. First of all, encourage each other with words about Jesus. Verse 13 or verse 14, this is what we believe. We believe that Jesus died. Why? The eternal God died, and we could spend a lot of time there. You know why he died. He who knew no sin became sin. He became your substitute. He took your place. He allowed the wrath of God to be poured out on himself. Not because he had done something wrong, but because we have done something wrong and because he wanted to be in right relationship with us. And the only just way for that to happen was Jesus. Did you hear what I said? The only way that you and I can have right relationship with God is through Jesus. You can't do it. And so he died. And fortunately, that isn't the end of the story. I love the way you sing. I love that song we just sang, how it's quiet in that one verse, and then how we burst forth, even as Christ did, from the grave. And your voices, they tell the story, they betray your heart, because you sing from the heart that he rose from the grave victoriously. And you and I need to constantly encourage each other with the words that we know about Jesus. He did die, he did rise from the dead. But beyond that, we sang it as well, he will return. How many of you think that he'll return today? You better look out, because it says nobody knows the hour or the day, and nobody raised their hand, so nobody's expecting him today. Well, maybe it's today. Encourage each other with these words. Jesus did die. Jesus did rise from the dead. He will return. Now, can I just pause for a moment? And for some of you, you're right with me, and you're excited, and you sang with excitement. You sang from your heart. He will return. And others of you are thinking, that doesn't excite me. I'm not real sure what that looks like when he returns. Do you really think he'll return? And it might be because you don't know him. You need to understand who he is. You need to know that he died for your sins. You need to know that he rose victoriously from the grave. And all you are called on is to exercise the gift of faith that he gives you and put your faith in Christ Jesus. Turn your sin and your life to him. Encourage one another with words about Jesus. He died. He did rise. He will return. And the second point is the same, but it's spelled a little differently. Encourage one another with words about Jesus with an apostrophe at the end. Possessive. With words about those who belong to Jesus. Encourage one another with words about Jesus, and then encourage one another with words about Jesus. His. Many, many will speculate and pontificate on life after death. But only God's Word offers us the truth. Only God's Word lets us know what really comes next. I mean, I've heard it, maybe not all, but I've heard some strange things come out of the mouths of people. I don't think we'll know each other. Oh, really? Is that what Scripture says? And undoubtedly, you have some form of idea what after this life looks like. God's Word gives us clarity, not every detail, but it gives us clarity as to what will happen. We will get to be together. And sorry, but you'll still know me. We will get to be together not only with each other who know Christ, but those who have died before us who know Christ. We'll get to hang out with Paul. We'll get to hang out with Moses. We'll get to hang out. I'll get to be with my grandparents again. And you can take that to the bank. You can encourage one another with those words. We will get to be together again. But greater than that, we will get to be with Jesus. See, when the enemy keeps that at bay and foggy and unclear and scary and all of that, you can't get excited about it, nor can I. But when all of a sudden clarity sets in and I realize the truth that I will be with Jesus face to face, then I can get excited. And beyond that, he says, forever I'll get to enjoy that relationship. There will never be another time in eternity when I will sin and fall away from God. I will be his forever. The pagan world in Paul's day had no hope of life after death. A typical inscription on a grave demonstrates that fact. I was not, I became, I am not, I care not. Wow. While some of the philosophers, such as Socrates, sought to prove happiness after death, the pagan world had no such assurance. You, Christian, have that assurance, because he says it right here. So encourage one another with these words about Jesus and with these words about Jesus, whose are his. But let me give you some points of application. And the first one is this. If you would encourage one another, you need to be informed. You need to fill your mind with the truth of God's Word. You need to know not what people speculate and pontificate about eternity. You need to know what God says about it. And he says it's real, and he says we'll get to be together. You ever been frustrated because you enjoy spending time together and the time runs out? That doesn't happen in heaven. It doesn't run out. We get to be together forever. Fill your mind with the truth of God's word. Be informed. The enemy hates for you to know reality. Take every thought captive to the mind of Christ. Search the scriptures. Don't take things for granted. Ask for his help in understanding the truth. Be informed. Know where you are going. There was a quaint inscription on a gravestone at an old British cemetery not far from Windsor Castle. It read, "Pause, my friend, as you walk by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prepare, my friend, to follow me." A visitor who read that epitaph added these lines, "To follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went." Be informed. Know the truth about Jesus. The second point of application that I would give you is this. Learn how to grieve. Teach your mind truth about Jesus and about Jesus, his. Jesus with an apostrophe at the end. He doesn't say it's wrong to grieve. You will miss your loved ones in Christ. You will not miss them forever. There will be a reunion coming. Some of you heard me say at Elaine Ackerman's funeral on Friday that I was talking to two of my children about Miss Elaine, and one of them discovered that she had passed away and asked the question, "She passed away?" And I said, "Yes." And there was a pause, and one of my children said, "Good for her." Learn how to grieve. Not as those who have no hope. Do we miss Elaine? Do we miss those who have gone before? Yes. But those who have died in Christ, we will get to be with again. Forever. In the presence of Jesus himself. Grieve with hope. Not a, "Well, man, I sure hope that happens," with a confident expectation that it will happen. Third point of application, don't be afraid of death. That's a tool the enemy desperately wants to use. He wants fear to rule in your life, and he will try anything and everything to produce that governing emotion or attitude in your life. But let me tell you that you need not fear death. It's unknown, but not to Christ. See, that's cool. If you know about Jesus, then you know he's been there, done that. He knows all about death. He's not speaking hypothetically of something he doesn't know anything about. He passed through the valley of the shadow of death himself and came out the other side alive. He offers life to his. If you know Christ, it's cool to me that Paul doesn't even say those who have died. He said those who have fallen asleep, because he knows absent from the body, present with the Lord, and yet their body will be resurrected and they'll have this new body, a resurrection body. And they're not dead, they're still alive in Christ. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Then why are you afraid of death? And in 1 Corinthians 15, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Satan has no authority over you, Christian, and no reason to give you fear, even of death itself. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of death. Fourth application, exercise hope. Take some time to contemplate what that reunion is going to look like. Think about some of the questions you'd like to ask your loved ones. What was it like, Pop-Pop, when you grew up? And what was it like when God miraculously saved you? And you were a radical sort of man. And slowly God sanctified you. What was that like when you stopped that lifestyle? What did your friends think of you at that point? Did they respect you? Did they make fun of you? Contemplate the reunion that you'll have with your loved ones. It will exercise hope. Meditate on the reality of Jesus. God's word invites us to get to know him in preparation for eternity with him. Thankfully, I won't meet him for the first time in eternity. I want to know all that I can about him. Meditate on his word. Study it. Captivate your mind with truth. It is bombarded with half-truths all the time. Captivate it with truth and so exercise hope. Fifthly, we will be together with the Lord forever. Fifth application, live like there's a forever. Live like it has been said, what we do in life echoes in eternity. Live like there is a forever. Live like it does get better than this. Live like this isn't all there is. Are you caught up in that? Have you believed the lie that this is it? Man, I'm glad this isn't all there is. I love life. I love what God has allowed me to do and be. I look forward to what more he has for me on this earth. But I can tell you, I look forward to the day when there are certain things I don't have to put up with anymore. And you've heard me talk about them. Live like there's a forever. So encourage one another. Encourage one another with these words. Teach each other about Jesus, the truth about him, the impact that he's having on your life, the fact that he is alive today. What is he doing in your life? Share it. Continue to tell others what Jesus is doing in your world. My wife was rear-ended by a drunken driver yesterday, and God spared her from a serious accident. And she was able to look at those police officers and say, I thank the Lord that she was taken off the streets without a more serious accident. Tell each other what Jesus is doing and who he is. Tell each other the truth about Jesus' children. Encourage one another with these words. The last words in the movie Gladiator were that of Juba, a good friend of General Maximus. His theology was out the window, and he was totally confused about anything in the afterlife, but these words resounded in my mind. And now we are free. I will see you again. But not yet. Not yet. I don't recommend the movie. I recommend the truth of God's word, that we will be together with Him forever. Amen.